While everyone's obsessing about the Christmas season, you've got a different season on your mind. One where red noses come from shouting your support in the crisp, cold, pitchside air. Where the roaring fire is in your belly, not your sitting room. And the perfect gift is an unexpected win. Don't miss a moment with a GAA season ticket. A gift for yourself or the fan in your life. Available at gaa.ie/season ticket. Are you in? The GAA, where we all belong.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
For Jake Paul, it's like, this is a Jackass stunt almost, that he's training for, and he's certainly preparing for, but it's still a Jackass stunt that he's getting over $50 or $60 million for.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
You are very welcome along to Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. Shane Hannan in for John Duggan. Today, loads to come across the next 6 hours or so. We're going to have two live and exclusive commentary games in the Premier League this afternoon. Arsenal versus Tottenham Hotspur in the North London Derby. That's a 4:30 kickoff at the Emirates Stadium. Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr calling the shots on that one. Before all that, 2 p.m. start for the Elland Road clash between Leeds United and Aston Villa. Vinnie Perth alongside Richie McCormack. For that one, we have the Sunday paper review in the books already. Adrian Barry was joined in studio by the Grand Slam winner with Ireland in 2013, Fiona Hayes, and the football journalist with the 42, David Snead, to put the world to rights and look at all the biggest stories and best sports writing across the back pages this morning. And of course, the big story across the back pages this morning is Ireland 13, South Africa 24, an 11-point victory for the Springboks at Lansdowne Road yesterday evening. And what a crazy game it was. The English referee, Matt Carley, certainly taking centre stage for a large portion of it as well. 4 first half yellow cards for Ireland, and then 1 in the second half as well. And just a bizarre game, but ultimately Ireland coming up short and Razzie Erasmus and the Springboks leaving the happiest. Get your comments in on WhatsApp 0879 180 180, and delighted to have in studio for the newsround Adrian Barry. Good afternoon, Adrian.
Shane, how are you doing?
Keeping well. And we have Aidan Delaney as well. Good afternoon, Aidan.
Good afternoon, lads.
Again, and you were probably similar on the paper review, Adrian, when we're talking about last night and what happened at the Aviva Stadium. It's hard to know where to start. What's your immediate thoughts on the game, and at full time, what was your thinking?
Oh, I've had a million thoughts, but probably different now. Like, definitely, I was saying to the guys that in the paper review that I was sort of very tempted in the first half to turn over. Like, I was so frustrated watching. It didn't feel like I was watching a match, you know. Maybe some of that was down to a lot of very fussy officiating. I was looking to see what was on. I was saying to them what was on Virgin Media 2 at the time. Just to see if there's something, some other option. Paddington 24/7. Wow. A behind the scenes look at, you know, what happens at Paddington Station.
Right. Okay. Could have been just anyway, as interesting. Yeah.
I stuck with it. but yeah, no, it was brutal. But like, there isn't any disgrace in losing to South Africa, none whatsoever. But there's obviously a lot of detail in the minutiae of all that around exactly how that came about, the chaos that we contributed to, maybe the chaos that we didn't contribute to, and the referee taking a sort of lenient view, obviously, of some of their tackles. And like, listen, we can't outsource the blame for the defeat. Mm. We were bad. Our discipline was shocking. Our scrum was, like, there are various descriptions of it across the papers today, bullied, melted, monstrously physically bullied by South Africa, was how Shane Horgan put it. So it is hard to know where to begin. I don't know. One question I was asking Fiona today, when Andy Farrell and his coaching ticket sit down over the next couple of weeks to pick over the bones of November and of the year in total and start to launch into the next block of games, 2 years, a 2 year block into the World Cup, where do they start? Like, and scrum is number one on the list now. Mm. Are we just trying to build a game plan ultimately to beat South Africa? Is that sort of where we're at? And what does that look like? Is it with the players we have? Because we got pummeled.
Yeah. Andy Dunn's analysis with Susanna Mullen after the game last night was really interesting, and he was kind of saying, we're so used to peaking between World Cups that maybe this is a different route, different way to go about it.
Try the opposite and get
exactly beat, get well, maybe. But he also said, look, as you point out, it was a grim spectacle if you're trying to grow the game of rugby. And yeah, a lot of people in that first half, you're probably watching thinking, and the referee as well, just a couple of like weird moments where he's on the mic and telling players around him who are asking for explanation on decisions, he's kind of like, can you please stop interrupting me? I'm trying to concentrate. And just a few weird lines, I thought, from the referee. And obviously a top referee, he wouldn't be given that game without being a top referee. But you never like to see, and I was saying it with Brent Pope and Shane Byrne yesterday, you don't want the referee to be the talking point after a game like that. And I kind of made the comment, I'd love to see 15 versus 15 last night for the entirety, and it was
Yeah, but we can't blame him for that. James Ryan could have got a straight
yeah,
card.
Yeah, fair decision.
I do think he does set the tone for the game when he doesn't give that yellow card. And then players, they start to get a bit frustrated. You can see Gary Ringrose's immediate reaction is to absolutely lose his bin, like, you know, because he's just going over. He thinks Tommy O'Brien might be knocked out. Like, and that's that kind of permeates through the rest of the team. And James Ryan, I mean, again, he knows that he shouldn't go in like that. I think there was a second one maybe a little bit earlier where he gets away with it a little bit as well. But players start to think that, you know, maybe there is going to be a bit more physicality in this game. Maybe there is, he is going to let some stuff
well,
go.
On that one, I don't think there's any, like, James Ryan could watch that 150 times now over the next few days and there isn't any world where he doesn't reappear on the pitch.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, he can't, I think there's a separation of all of these things. Like, the Tommy O'Brien one was a kind of a strange one. Sorry, the one that where Tommy O'Brien himself had to go off for the HIA was sort of a strange one. Mm. The James Ryan one is a very clear-cut one that should be, like, almost loped off from the rest of them and just dealt with as a rush of blood to the head, I think, and, you know, should never appear in a rugby pitch. That type of behaviour, I think, and he'll know that.
Mm.
But definitely some of the other ones, like you were saying, Aidan, I think, oh, I don't know.
And it's an element of frustration in the players as well, when they feel, like myself and Shane were talking off air, and we'll get to Liverpool obviously later on as well, there's sometimes when players feel like decisions are going against them, that frustration builds up, and obviously you're going to make more mistakes because you're not as concentrated, you're thinking, oh, woe is me a little bit, and that's what separates the best teams in that South Africa obviously had those kind of controversial two red cards over the last 2 weeks, but they've come through those tests and decided, you know, we're not going to let this affect us, we're going to come out with victories. And that kind of, it's what separates us between us and them at the minute, is that they can kind of take these hits and keep going, whereas we kind of wilted a little bit. And obviously we did kind of show a bit of fight towards the end, and particularly kind of keeping them out for about 35 minutes in that second half was quite, you know, maybe you kind of, South Africa probably declared a little bit, but to keep them out a little bit does show a bit of fight, but that fight was really gone when we really needed it.
What really stood out to me in Andy Farrell's, a couple of things stood out in his post-match press conference, but one, he was asked, you know, obviously South Africa and their assistant coach during the week kind of pointing out all the decisions that have gone against them in recent internationals. And Andy Farrell was asked, you know, do you think that played a part in the decision-making today? And he said, well, look, we met with the officials, both teams met with the officials in advance of the game, and they told us, no, that would absolutely have no part to play, but I'll let you make up your own mind on that. And the, if you're reading between the lines of what Andy Farrell said, he certainly seemed to think that the Springboks coming out strong during the week against the decisions that they've been on the wrong side of maybe had a part to play. It's hard to know, because as you say, a lot of decisions, if you look at them in the cold light of day, maybe the referee got them right. It was just the flow of the game. And was it over 2 hours?
2 hours 10, yeah.
That's shocking, in fairness. And ultimately it was 4 tries to 1.
Yeah. Like, I just think, like, we could have controlled an awful lot of stuff better than we did.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tommy Ryan could have dipped a bit more for the tackle. Like, Jack Crowley did not need to do what he did to get binned himself. Like, so we have to take ownership of a load of that sort of stuff. And, like, we can complain about the referee. I just think from Andy Farrell's point of view, there are way deeper issues than that. Mm. You know, like, if there was a World Cup next year, you wouldn't get too many people, Irish people, putting their hands up to say that we're in anywhere within the mix of trying to win that. Like, you know, I think that'd be the major concern for me. Like, and I just don't know, like, we haven't blundered an awful lot of players over the last...
I think that's what's worrying.
I think this was a big opportunity.
Anything,
like, I think Paddy McCarthy has been a success over the last while.
Tom Farrell maybe as well.
But Tom Farrell is 32, you know, he's not going to feature at a World Cup. I think Cian Prendergast has shown a little bit.
He did show something.
Yeah. Like, you start to look beyond that. Like, Nick Timoney started against Japan, came off the bench against Australia. Thomas Clarkson did the same. So maybe a little bit there. But by and large, like, outside of Paddy McCarthy, when you're thinking about players that are potential starters for Ireland at the next World Cup, like, there's not a pile.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind leaving this window with 2 from 4 and a load of players blooded, you know.
Yeah. And at least the hype train won't, you know, if you're beating the Springboks, beating the All Blacks, 1-4 from 4, there is the hype train that would be a good problem to win 4 from 4. But there's also the fact that it was a valiant effort, and the players were at pains to point that out after the game, with at times 12 men, sometimes 13, particularly at the start of the second half and at the tail end of the match as well. It would have been nice to get that try at the very end to just kind of even in defeat.
If we had had 1 minute.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because the Ireland-Hungary game, before we got the second goal, I was just in my head, I was just thinking, if we could get 10 minutes.
Give us a chance.
To give us a go at this, there might be a chance. If we could just get 10 minutes to get it level and have that window to have a go at it.
Yeah.
That moment where we got the Yadamida disallowed goal, that kind of showed us, actually, we can score this, and okay, this one didn't work out, but the next one will.
And then we did score on basically 80 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got that time, and it worked out for us. So last night I was thinking, if we could get 1 minute, like in the context of the entire game, if we could somehow get over the try line here, get the conversion taken quickly, just get a restart, get one play.
Yeah.
And see, and, you know, throw, like, listen, it'd be a daylight robbery if we'd have won that game.
Yeah.
And in reality, we were 11 points back. We were probably about 30 points back, you know, from them in terms of, you know, the gulf in class, I think, between the two teams. We'd no right to win that game at all. But, I don't know. Listen, the major concerns, I think, for Ireland over the next. You're right, absolutely right to say that there are reasons. There is stuff in the positive column, like for sure there is. Like with 4 or 5 minutes to go, having a go at their line with the possibility of putting ourselves within one score, South Africa was a huge achievement. But we didn't get over the line, mind you. But like there maybe will be stuff that we can point back to in the World Cup that we can lean on of our experiences here where indiscipline gets the better of us. But the indiscipline thing, like listen, you look back to the Six Nations this year, we got 2 yellow cards and 1 red card across the entire tournament. Last night we got 4 yellow cards and 1 20-minute red card.
It's a concern, isn't it?
It's not great.
No. Yeah. Look, we spoke to Stephen Kitsoff, on 2-time World Cup winner with the Springboks, on Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, and he predicted a 12-point South African win. He was only a point off in the end, and he got a bit of criticism for that in the comments. But the TV cameras picking up Razzy Erasmus's thumbs up manoeuvre at the full-time whistle.
What did you think? Well, he explained them away afterwards to say there was some South African fans in front of him. And he was just saying, it was his way of saying thank you to them and to all the South Africans who had made their way into the stadium.
Oh, okay. I took him at his word, but did you take him at his word?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
It was quite clear. He was also making a face, if you watch it, that wasn't him thanking his own fans.
Okay.
It was very much a sarcastic, just say that, like, oh, listen, emotions got the better of me. And just say that, like, listen, I know he's given his explanation, so who am I to say that that's not what he did? But I think his body language certainly said one thing while his words said something else. And like that would be consistent with his general approach to match week and to opponents and to Ireland specifically.
And I think Rory O'Connor was mentioning this, you know, Razzy Erasmus uses the media as a weapon. He knows that it's part of his arsenal coming into a game. Oh, I can mention a few refereeing decisions. And, you know, we saw Hamer Halgrimsson do something similar heading into the Portugal game as well. Mm. Just put those little comments out there and have those little moments to show your personality and to just let referees know that you're there. And maybe Andy Farrell, you know, he's very kind of careful not to say anything about the referee in his post-match yesterday. And we'll hear a little bit of that in a minute. But, you know, maybe it is a time for him to actually stand up and say, you know, maybe we do need to put a bit more pressure on here too.
Yeah, that's where we're starting the news round with Aidan, I guess.
Yeah, so Andy Farrell described his overriding feeling from the chaotic 24-13 defeat as pride. Despite their physical superiority and dominant scrum that troubled Ireland throughout, the Springboks were met by an Irish side that were reduced to 12 men at one stage. Farrell was asked if the first half was shambolic from a refereeing standpoint.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I said chaotic. Yeah, I won't repeat your word, because I think you're wrong. I haven't seen a game like that ever. You think you've seen it all, and I haven't seen a game like that ever. But I suppose, you know, first and foremost, you look at yourself and why things have happened. So we'll do that and make sure that we learn the lessons from that. But my overriding thought of the game is that I'm unbelievably proud. So for you to start the conversation off like that doesn't sit well.
You lost the game, but how much do you think that whole experience, that everything that went on tonight, will stand to your
Well, if you can't learn from that, then you're in the wrong place, really. going down to 12 men, how the lads came out and showed the bottle for the country, certainly in that first 10 minutes of that second half, was absolutely amazing. And I think you could see with the crowd, the effort that they put in, that the crowd recognised that and supported them. To be able to win a second half 6-5 under those type of circumstances, I know it doesn't tell a full story of the second half, but it's actually amazing, really, that happened or that occurred. But the lessons to learn when you fight so hard to give yourself a chance, and you know you're at 72 minutes trying to overplay, probably in your own 22, still got time on the clock, and to put ourselves back in the right field positions, and we overplayed a little bit and wasted a little bit of time, but then we found a way, and with 4 minutes to go there, we had a glaring chance to score a try under the post, and we scored that with 4 minutes to go. Who knows what could have happened with a little bit of momentum, but and we couldn't do that, so all credit has to go to South Africa.
Ireland won the second half 6-5. You have to take the wins where you can get them.
I think that, listen, there are loads of reasons. That is one of them.
Yeah.
They internally should sit down and say, look at all these positives we have. Absolutely. But we're entitled from the outside to go, it wasn't a 11-point difference.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Especially if it was 15 versus 15 for the duration. But look, that's part of the game. It wasn't.
And it wasn't. A lot of it was our fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it would have been fascinating to see. I don't like, our scrum was pummeled, and yes, there were a lot of square pegs and round holes, you'd have to say that, over the course of the game, because of the amount of players we were getting.
Bundyaki, I'll never want to see a scrum ever
Bundyaki,
again.
Like, I did think at one point Bundyaki was like going over to the assistant referee and saying, can you not see, you know, the loose head is grinding down on our loose head, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, Bundy, of all the players to be making this point to the assistant referee, you're no expert in this area.
Yeah, true.
But he was giving it a go, to be fair, in this game.
Yeah, Rossi was in a jovial mood after the game.
He sure was. It was a famous win for the Springboks, who had not won at the Aviva since 2012, and Ireland won 4 of the last 5 meetings, including that World Cup pool stage game. That's why Razzy celebrated with a beer in his press conference and was asked how it tasted after a job well done.
Any beer is nice after a win, especially against a quality team like Ireland, who's totally dominated us since we've been a group together. So we know that they still, if you take the 5 games, they're still, I think, 3-2 up against us. So we won't get carried away with this. But yeah, the beer is a little bit sweeter. And we're just thankful that we could manage to beat them here. And it's been a long season for our guys. I know a lot of the guys must go to Japan and URC games and so on. But I also know the whole Leinster team, that we have only 2 not starting of Leinster in that game. They also have to go into URC, so it worked both ways. But we are proud, after a long season, to grind through a win against a team like them at home for the first time in, I think, 13 or 14 years. So tastes okay. I do think we were dominant in scrums. I'm not saying I'm not saying we should have gotten yellow cards and not. But we've been part of quite a few games that was like this, where we had to grind it out of 14 men. There was a totally different challenge here. I thought we were dominant for most parts of the game, but just couldn't kill it when we inside the 22. So it was hectic. It was difficult to manage. It was difficult sometimes to understand who's off and who's on and who comes back and who's got an HIA and who's injured. But that's test match rugby at the highest level, and you know you have to understand and manage those kind of things.
Yeah, Rossy Erasmus there, Springboks head coach, speaking after their 24-13 win over Ireland at the Aviva Stadium last night. A couple of other bits of rugby today as well, Aidan.
Yeah, so the Autumn Nations series wraps up today. Murrayfield plays host to Scotland and Tonga, with kickoff there at 1:40. And later, England look to preserve their unbeaten run when they welcome Argentina to Twickenham at 4:10.
In football end of things, as I said at the start of the show, we have 2 live and exclusive commentary games in the Premier League this afternoon. The North London Derby from 4:30. Arsenal hosting Tottenham Hotspur at the Emirates Stadium. Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr are going to be over there for us in North London. Before that, though, it is a struggling Leeds United hosting Aston Villa side, currently in 9th, but a win today at Elland Road would take them up to 4th position in the Premier League table for now. On commentary is Vinnie Perth alongside our own Richie McCormack for this one. Good afternoon, Richie.
Good afternoon, Shane. How are you?
Keeping well, keeping well. Interesting one, this, and the team news, I believe, is in.
Yeah, one change apiece, perhaps surprisingly from a Leeds perspective. As you mentioned there, they have been struggling recently, conceding goals to beat the band and looking nowhere near picking up the level of points that would require them to pull away from the relegation zone. Although Daniel Farker remains unruffled in midweek, saying they're on course to reach their points total and their points target for the season that will see them avoid relegation, according to him. So they've made just one change from the team beaten 3-1 by Nottingham Forest just prior to the international break. Pascal Strouk comes in for Jakob Biot at the heart of their defence. So they will have Lucas Perry in goal, a back four of Jaden Bogle, Joe Roden, Pascal Strouk and Gabriel Goodmanson. In midfield, Ethan Ampadu and Anton Stack are joined by Sean Longstaff. Brendan Aaronson and Noah Okafor will be either side of Lucas Mecha. And on the bench, among the subs for Leeds today, will be Dominic Calvert-Lewin, their free transfer signing from Everton in the close season, and Ao Tanaka, who've been impressive at the start of this campaign but has found himself out of favour under Farke in recent games. He too is on the bench but likely to be sprung from it during the course of the second half. Just one change for Villa as well, that one enforced by injury. Amadou Onana picked up a knock in Belgium's recent international game with Kazakhstan, and as he was replaced in the game in Astana and also against Liechtenstein in midweek, Yuri Tielemans comes back into the Villa midfield. It's his first start for Villa since the middle of September, and he'll partner Boubacar Camara in there. Emi Martinez, World Cup winner with Argentina, of course, remains in goal for them. Their back four is unchanged from their last game, which was a 4-0 victory at home to Bournemouth. So Maddie Cash, Ezri Konsa and Pau Torres are joined by Luka Dinić in defence. Konsa shaking off a knock he picked up while playing for England during the last 2 weeks. Boubacar Camara and Yuri Tielemans, as I say, anchor the midfield. In front of them, John McGinn, Emi Buendia, who's been in the form of his life for Aston Villa this season, so much so that he's keeping Harvey Elliott out of proceedings for Villa. They're joined behind Ollie Watkins by Morgan Rogers. Once again, no Harvey Elliott in this matchday squad for Aston Villa. Unai Emery saying that he's being kept out purely based on the form of Emi Buendia, who has 5 goal involvements in his last 5 games. That's as many as his previous 37 appearances for Aston Villa. But you would have thought that with a potential £35 million signing on the way, that he would be included among the substitutes. But no, instead, they have 18-year-old George Hemmings among their subs today, do Aston Villa. Daniel Malin, a scorer last time out, is joined by Jadon Sancho, Evan Gesson and Ross Barkley, if and when Unai Emery decides to change things this afternoon on what is a very, very cold Ellen Road.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Right, Richie, thank you very much for now. Get the layers on at Elland Road. Leeds United versus Aston Villa, 2 p.m. kickoff, as Richie said, alongside Vinnie Perth calling the shots on that one this afternoon. Aidan, there's plenty of other football to round us up on.
Yeah, so Liverpool's grasp on their title slipped further with another home loss in the Premier League, this time a 3-0 reverse against Nottingham Forest. It leaves the champions with 6 wins and 6 losses from their opening 12 games and not the title defence they were hoping for. Arne Slot refused to blame recent inconsistencies in refereeing distract from their failures. He says he takes full responsibility for their growing slump in form.
It's my responsibility. If we win or lose, it's my responsibility. So, what I also see today, and I wasn't at City, but at City, yeah, we were not the only team that struggles in the first half. But in every other game we've played, we've been the dominant team, and we were able to create chances. And lately, it's almost constantly that we miss our chances and the ones go in that we concede, but that will never continue throughout the whole season. But we need to have that moment of energy of scoring a goal. If you are playing well and you go 1-0 up, then the other team feels like, we've played here half an hour now and we're 1-0 down and we hardly seen the ball. But the opposite thing happened. They got a big, big, big energy boost from scoring 1-0. So in a normal situation, the result would have been different. But we are now in a difficult situation. And you need to do even more to get your results in than when things go in your favour. Yeah, of course, there's a way out, especially with the quality players we are having. So I think no matter if you win or lose, if you make a lineup and if you make substitutions, and when you look back, you're always thinking about, oh, where can we do better? Where can we adjust? But that's something else than doubting yourself. But I want to emphasize one more time on the fact that I'm responsible for the current current losses. When you are responsible when you're winning, but you're also responsible when you are losing. And that's why I prefer, although you ask me that question, not to talk about referee decisions or other excuses. I can never come up with enough excuses for us to perform, to have the results we have. That is far from good enough, and I'm responsible for that.
Yeah, Liverpool boss Arne Slot taking responsibility for that 3-0 defeat at home to Nottingham Forest yesterday. And as we alluded to as well, Man City's title hopes taking a bit of a blow as well. That 2-1 defeat away to Newcastle, so 4 points behind lead leaders Arsenal. In that one, and Arsenal, of course, in action in the North London derby later on today. It was a very poor result for Liverpool. Obviously, it's, what, six league losses in seven games. They're 11th in the table. Still have 18 points, albeit, you know, they're not far off the teams above them, but that's because of the start to the season they've had. But the recent form has been serious cause for concern.
Yeah, like, where does it all end?
Yeah.
Is the thing, like, isn't that ultimate, like, you know, it's like the classic conversation about any... We haven't mentioned it in relation to Irish rugby, but like it is the sword of Damocles that was hanging over the neck of Hemer Helgrimsson up to about 2 weeks ago as well. Mm. This constant thing, if the results are not going your way, then there's only one person who ends up really paying the price around that stuff. So, you know, potentially it's him, but it'd be a remarkable fall from grace. And everybody expects that it's just going to stop at some point, don't they? Like, but yesterday was... I see some of the back pages today. Virgil van Dijk says it is a problem. I mean, it absolutely.
Correct.
You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, to say the least. I'm just looking at the Premier League sack race here. Daniel Farke is the favourite, Marco Silva second, and then Arne Slot is the third favourite at 11-2. But he obviously will get a lot of leverage because he won the lead last season. The Diogo Jota tragedy as well surely has to put this season in its entirety into perspective.
It does, but that the leeway diminishes, I think, week on week.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big one, you know. Even, like, you think about the most ardent Liverpool or Slot supporters, and I'm sure that's the vast majority of them.
Yes.
At the minute. I'd definitely give them pause for thought after that yesterday. And they have PSV coming up, obviously, in the Champions League during the week, away to West Ham next weekend. December is reasonably kind to them. Like, I mean, I don't know actually what kind represents from a Liverpool perspective at the minute, but Sunderland, Leeds, obviously Milan... and then, you know, domestically again in the league, they've Brighton, Tottenham, and then close out with Wolves. Mm. Not a bad run of games if you were in a sticky patch, but like just the basis of yesterday has you questioning everything about Liverpool now.
Yeah.
They're a team playing without confidence, a team playing without leadership at the minute. I think that's what's really kind of sticking out for me, is that, you know, the big players from last year aren't really stepping up. Mo Salah was slightly better yesterday. Ibrahima Konate was taken off for an attacker in the second half. Like, that just shows that this is a man who reckons he's going to go to Real Madrid at the end of the season as well, and I don't think he'd get into the Madrid B team at the minute. But it's a side that does feel like it's not too far away from clicking, that, you know, if they manage to get all their players on the field at the one time. Florian Wirtz missed yesterday. Alexander Isak still doesn't look fit. I'm not entirely sure what the situation is there. I mean, this is a professional footballer. How is he not fit at this stage, 12 games in, like a third of the season in, and he's still not, you know, contributing? He looked absolutely bereft of kind of any ideas yesterday. He was wooden, he was leaden, he was just kind of slowing everything down. And you know, when they managed to bring on Ekitike, it was just kind of a breath of fresh air. Now obviously it didn't result in any goals, but it did show that this is a player who's in form, who is confident, who is willing to take on defenders and willing to attack. But I don't think getting rid of Slot is going to change anything here. I think he has bought himself a bit of time being the defending champions, you know, dealing with the situation they've had to deal with over the summer. And I still go back to you know, just before the season started, John had me in here for a last news round, I think I was on, and we were talking about the players coming in, and I felt a bit uncomfortable with the just sheer amount of change coming in. And when you look at the starting 11 yesterday, okay, there wasn't too many, you know, new faces in, but just around the training ground during the week, it's just everything has just been in this constant state of flux. And I think that hasn't, that's kind of, we're just seeing the kind of the results of that now.
Just on Troy Parrott watch, by the way, his AZ Alkmaar were in action today in Eredivisie. They, a poor result for them, actually. A 3-1 defeat away to Heerenveen, which has them third in the Eredivisie table. But who scored for Alkmaar? Who else? Troy Parrott on 75 minutes. That's a 19th goal in 19 games in the season for Troy Parrott, one of Europe's informed strikers, I think it's fair to say, at this moment in time. So we'll keep an eye on all of Alkmaar's fixtures, including, of course, the welcome Shelburne to North Netherlands on Thursday night, 5:45 p.m. Irish time kickoff for that one. A few other stories to round us up on as well. Aidan, maybe start with the GAA.
Yeah, let's go with a place in the Leinster Senior Club Hurling Final on the line this afternoon. Wexford champion St Martins meeting Naas of Kildare in their provincial semi-final at Chadwick's Wexford Park. Throwing in that one is a 1/2. At the same time, in UPMC Nolan Park, 12-time champions Ballyhale Shamrocks of Kilkenny go head-to-head with Leashside Clock Balacolla for a second spot in the final. In Munster, the Club Football Championship has also reached the semi-final stage. Kerry's Dingle are taking on Mungret St Paul's, the breakthrough winners in Limerick this year. That game is just heading for half-time, and probably unexpected here, but Dingle 1-7 to no score up. 1-5 of that coming from Gainey's, Paul, Niall and Connor. The winners will face either Aeroge of Ennis or St Finbar's. Those two meet in the second semi-final. That's at Supervalue Park Equive from 3:30. Meanwhile, in Ulster, Kilcoo are already through to the decider and will learn their opponents later. Scotstown of Monaghan face Derry's Newbridge in today's second semi-final. That throws in at 3:30 in Oma. Kilcoo clinching their place yesterday with an 11-point victory over Airngales.
Bit of Formula 1 as well, isn't
it? Yeah, a bit of controversy this morning in Las Vegas, where Red Bull's Max Verstappen winning the Grand Prix after watching his title rivals getting disqualified. Driver standings leader Lando Norris finished the race in second and his teammate Oscar Piastri was fourth. However, post-race checks found both McLaren drivers were in breach of rules surrounding skid block wear. McLaren have apologised, saying the ruling is extremely disappointing and the breach was unintentional. It means Norris now leads Piastri and Verstappen by 24 points ahead of the final events in Qatar this coming week and then the season finale in Abu Dhabi. Norris must outscore his rivals by at least 2 points in Doha across the sprint and Grand Prix in order to grab the magic 26-point lead. That would mean he couldn't be caught at the top.
Very good. Adrian, you've had, as we said, David Sneed and Fiona Hayes in studio already for the Sunday pay-per-view. Obviously dominated by the rugby, plenty of other bits in there as well.
Yeah, well, just two pieces to mention, because it was dominated by the rugby, and then obviously we're still reflecting, and we'll probably do this every weekend between now and the time the playoffs come around about the football. But the piece I'll go to is maybe one of the more unlikely ones, given the tone of it, as opposed to the writer who writes regularly on the topic. But Hugh Farrelly, page 74 of the Mail on Sunday, I'd mentioned in the pay-per-view earlier on, if you're struggling through the cobwebs of Saturday, then a Sunday afternoon, pick to page 74 of the Mail on Sunday, as Hugh Farrelly pulls you to his bosom, is what you need to get you through the day. Because he says that this game does not matter. All that does matter after 40 years of flopping is the World Cup in Australia in 2 years' time. And although Irish supporters may not think it today as they pour over the entrails of defeat, losing yesterday may actually be the proverbial blessing in disguise, because it can directly benefit Ireland's attempt to reach a first World Cup semi-final in 2027. So it's basically that idea of you learn more from defeat than you do from victory. And he's certainly not, Hugh Farrelly, shying away from the fact that there are concerns that we've discussed, but that there may be a positive side to this.
I like it.
Grasp at that today and run with it. And then on the football side, Paul Rowan probably is the go-to today in the Sunday Times. He's a good piece with Keith Andrews, which covers his reaction to the Parrott goals. Nearly pulled my hamstring jumping off the sofa was the key line out of that. And obviously he has a lot of knowledge of these players in this group and works with Stephen Kenny, and his, you know, sort of reflections on empathy for Stephen Kenny during this time, and some lovely stuff to say about Troy Parrott. And then also just a bit of interesting stuff from Paul Rowan with Heimir Hallgrímsson, who he's asked him sort of, you know, what he did in the aftermath. Flew in the morning to Iceland and stayed there for 24 hours before coming back here. He said, "I just need to switch off, get some sleep, be alone, taking time, taking my hikes in the mountains and meeting my people that have supported me. So just enjoying a day with my loved ones," he said, was his reaction to it. And it kind of, it just struck me that we haven't really, because Heimir Hallgrímsson has sat in front of the media for the last couple of years, basically trying to defend, often at times, the indefensible. And that's obviously part of the gig. A lot of bad results. And we haven't really got, you know, Heimer, we hardly knew you was kind of my bit. You know, if the results had gone the most likely way over the last couple of weeks and he had been finished, we wouldn't really have got to know Heimer Helgumson, the person. So I think over the next 5 months, we should also indulge in a bit of that. Like, you know,
yeah,
the old cliches about the dentistry and all that. What lives beyond that?
Yeah, 100%. And we have the time now to get to know him, thankfully. Yeah.
So there's a bit of that in the Sunday Times. Plenty more ground covered, but that's the main.
Brilliant stuff.
It, yeah.
That's the Sunday Paper Review, which is available every Sunday indeed. And if you want to listen back to it, if you are a subscriber, you can get that. And you can give the sports fan in your life a gift. They'll actually use a full year of Off the Ball this Black Friday. Get a 1 year Off the Ball subscription for just $69.99, down from $99.99. Exclusive podcasts, ad-free listening, and early event access, all wrapped up in one perfect gift. Just go to offtheball.com/Black Friday, and the offer ends on December the 1st. Adrian and Aidan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.